Our guest speaker for this morning is Pastor Albert Tokwe Ojo. He's an anointed servant of God born in Nigeria who began ministerial work at the very youthful age of 17. Having served in various Christian leadership positions in fellowships and churches and at local, national, and international levels, he has started his unique role in the Lord's end-time army. Pastor Tokwe Ojo has traveled extensively, preaching and planting churches. He has preached and conducts seminars, conferences in USA, Nigeria, Israel, Canada, Europe, and South Africa. He is particularly passionate and burdened about families of fellow Africans in diaspora who are faced with the enormous challenge of cultural forces militating against them in foreign land. He is the CEO of Life Support Christian Counseling Ministries, a ministry that is engaged in proactive ways of helping couples build and nurture stronger and healthier relationships. The distinction of this servant of God lies in the provocative candor of his ideas and his transformation of marriage issues into a practical and joyful experience. I thought some people would say amen to that, because we have seen that, we have experienced that this weekend. His proactive and unconventional ideas have great implications for contemporary family relationships. With real-life testimonies following his ministrations, as you are about to witness this morning from his presentation. Pastor Tokwe Ojo is a board-certified pastoral counselor, a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors, and the International Board of Christian Counselors. He's been married to Josephine Temi Tokwe since 1990. That's 24 years of marriage. Your clapping is not born again. 24 years to the same woman. Hallelujah. I've done 15 and I'm counting until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name. There will be more things to explore, you know what I'm saying? He's been married to Josephine Temi Tokwe since 1990, which together with him run the vision of Life Support Ministries. They are blessed with four precious gifts: Tumi, Tudu, Brittany Chloe, and Timileyin. His areas of specialties include marriage enrichment seminars, such as we've had this weekend, single parenting workshops, pre-marital counseling seminars, parental education seminars, sexual and alcohol addiction restoration, grief support, divorce prevention and recovery, and anger management. So this weekend, all we have done this weekend is a marriage enrichment part of it. But because of the grace of God that is upon the servant of God, he's done seminars in many different areas. And some of this have been recorded and documented. And if any of the things that I've mentioned resonates in your heart, well, it's not what he will be talking about today, because that's not why he's here. We have CDs in the lobby that we should take advantage of. And listen to me, even with marriage enrichment programs that he has done, I can guarantee you this. 1 second, please. The way you are playing, my spirit is following you. I might forget what I'm saying and just begin to flow in the spirit. Thank you. Let's put our hands together for the instrumentalist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, every program is different from one another. You know, and the CDs that are out there, he brought them because of us. Not so that he can listen to himself again. Amen. But so that we can be blessed by them. I want us to stop by the lobby. I heard there's a slight glitch with the kiosk. We'll fix that before service is over. And we're going to add the ability for you to pay for the CDs onto the kiosk in a little bit, you know, so you can, you know, pay with the kiosk if you don't have cash or check with you. You know, but I want you to patronize it. The Bible says the truth, the word of God that we hear and we hear again and again is what is going to bring us liberation, you know. So you need to listen and listen and listen again before it sticks. The research have shown, I want to talk like him now. So research have shown, you know, that during a presentation, if you're good, maybe you retain 10% after all said and done. You know, that's all you're going to remember. But if you have something you can go back to, then you can remind yourself of certain things. You know, and I'm sure some of the things we had here, he has said in part in other places and developed more than is developed here. You know, so let's avail ourselves of the opportunity in the lobby. There'll be people there waiting on you. So please put your hands together this morning as I make welcome Pastor Albert Tokwe Ojo, the top man himself. Yeah. God bless you, sir.
Please be seated. I'm so delighted again to come to share fellowship with you. I thank God for our pastor and first lady. It's a beautiful delight to meet with you. You have such a cheerful and joyful spirit. And I thank God for you. We never met. It's Dr. Bode that connected us. He had listened to me, and we have been part of each other several years, over 20 years behind. And the first time I set face on Pastor was on Friday when he picked me up at the airport. And he has a very dynamic spirit. We called, we spoke, and I started describing what I'm wearing. He said, don't bother. He said, when I see you, we will smell each other. And I said, this is a great man of God. And behold, as I was coming down the escalator, he looked up, I looked up. We high-fived each other. We connected. And that was it. And our spirit was flowing since then. And I blessed the Lord. No wonder when I came here, I can see excellence in the house. And I praise the Lord. Because you only attract your like. And you attract people that are just like you. And the presence, it can show also. When I come to your house and visit your house, you don't need to introduce me to anything. Looking up, looking around, I can tell the kind of person you are. I praise the Lord for this house. And when I come back here, the glory will have doubled in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you all, and I bless the Lord for the opportunity and the privilege that I have this weekend to come to speak to us. Since Friday, to talk to our marriages, to talk to our families, and to talk to our relationships. I hope I've been useful in some way. If you have been under my voice since Friday, Father, I stand before you. I do not take these families, these lives for granted, for it is for these lives you shed your blood. So I stand, Lord, as an instrument, as a vessel. Please make me useful this morning again. At my voice, let there be deliverances. Let there be open doors. Let there be understanding. Lord, let there be new resolve to move forward and to turn our relationships around. So shall it be in the name of Jesus Christ. I prayed. Amen. Thank you. Please bring my bag here for me. I will need it to illustrate. This morning, I want to share with you in the message that I've titled Some Gifts That We Can Give Each Other in Marriage. Like Pastor introduced me, I've been married for 24 years, going to 25, and I am so blessed. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I bless the Lord. I have a grateful heart. I'm married to a very pretty lady. Maybe when I come, I will show you a slide of my wife. You haven't seen anybody as pretty as top woman. She's, you know, okay, I'll talk about her some other time. She's pretty. I love her. I love my wife. And that does not mean that we do not fight. It doesn't mean that we do not quarrel. I love God. God loves me, but we quarrel. We quarrel. God loves you and you quarrel, don't you? Yeah, when you sin, when you disobey him, you quarrel. That we quarrel does not mean we don't love each other. It doesn't mean. As a matter of fact, you quarrel more with the fellow you love more. You really quarrel with a stranger. Because you got no business with a stranger. Hey, hey, how you doing? You're minding your own business. And everybody is going their own separate way. So, I've come from a very different background. And I hope you will understand at my voice this morning, stroke afternoon, and God will impact your marriage. The first gift I want to talk about is the gift of compassion. In our relationships, because I've said so many things on Friday and yesterday, and I'm building on it. I'm sorry if you are not here. If you take the tapes of the previous days, you can, you know, fix and align with where I am picking from this morning. Some things will stand a little strange to you initially because you had not followed us. So I've shared my background. I've shared where I'm coming from. And so that will help you to connect a little. So I've said yesterday in the couples banquet that we are not perfect. We are not. I have not met a perfect person. Actually, we hear statistically that people look for a perfect church and that a perfect church doesn't exist. Only this church is the perfect church. This is the only perfect church. And they always say the people looking for perfect churches, the day they find one, when they enter, they make the church imperfect because they are not perfect. Before the imperfect person has entered a perfect church, he has polluted the place. So there is no perfect person. And because of that, we go through issues in our relationships. So I ask that we give each other the gift of compassion. Wives, give your husbands the gift of compassion. Husband, give your wife the gift of compassion. Parents, give your children the gift of compassion. Children, give your parents the gift of compassion. Compassion is a big thing. I went to check the thesaurus, and the other synonyms for compassion is benevolence, mercy, empathy, grace, kindness. That is compassion. Because we are all depraved. We are all depraved. Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. All encompass all. And believe me, even as a born-again Christian, you still sin. You see, there is no sinless perfection until we meet Christ. That's why they asked Billy Graham, the grandfather of faith in the United States of America. Somebody, Larry King once called Billy Graham the Pope of the Pentecostals, of the Evangelicals. He said, that's our Pope. They said, how do you keep yourself continually in the presence of God? He said, keep a repentant heart always. I didn't know that Billy Graham still repents of sins because he's human. He's human. Is to be inhuman is for you to be arrogant and put yourself on a pedestal and say, I'm above sin. Nobody is yet above. Now, we do not celebrate sin, but God gives us power over it, especially when we confess it and renounce it. We have dominion over it. But I'm asking, in relating with each other, when you always remember, put inside your medulla oblongata, that the fellow you are relating with is imperfect, you will be able to cut them a slack. You will not demand perfection from them. See, the feeling of compassion is a distress feeling, a feeling of pity for the suffering and misfortune of another person with an intent to do something positive about it. To do something positive about it. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There is no truth in us. When I look at First Lady and she has offended me, and she says, I'm sorry, and I will not let go, and I hold on to it. What I am holding on to, it just happened to be the weak part of First Lady at that occasion. That is not the totality of who she is. That is not the totality. If because of that, I stigmatize her, I call her names, I say things about her. There are folks that know this lady as an excellent lady. And when they ask me, who are you talking about? Do you know who are you talking about? Have you related with her on some other occasions? You just happen to see her at a weak point and you conclude that that is the totality of her story. That's not the totality of the story of this lady. That's the reason why I have to cut her a slack in relating. So when I relate with my wife, when I relate with my daughter, when I relate with my boys, I want to be mad. And I remember, oh, just like me, they also are human. And they err, and I offer compassion. Oh, compassion is a beautiful thing. I belong to an organization called Compassion International. And what I led my family to do, my wife and my kids, is to send some little money to Burkina Faso. Every month, we sponsor a girl named Rasmata. We have not known her. Believe me, less than $100 a month has been able to make Rasmata go to school. She has never gone to school all her life. When I started sending that money, she was 10 years old. She went to primary one when she was 10 years old. She wouldn't have gone to school all her life. She sent pictures, which is on our refrigerator now. She write letters every month to thank us and to say, see, I am going to school now. Have been promoted to primary two. Life is opening up before Rasmata. And my kids come, they say, Daddy, our compassion kid, she's making progress. That is what compassion does. And then she will send a picture, she's looking more beautiful. We send some gifts sometimes, they will buy clothing. The clothing she wore, the first time we saw her, was so tattered and ragged. Now she wears better clothing. And she's looking more beautiful. And I tell my children, it's because of the little money we send to Burkina Faso. What compassion does is that it does not only transform the receiver, compassion transforms the giver also. Compassion doesn't transform the receiver alone. The giver begins to feel happy and joyous. When you give compassion, life becomes better for you. But when you refuse to give compassion, you demand perfection. Nobody can give perfection except God. See, because the perfectionist is never satisfied. The perfectionist is never satisfied. A couple moved into a new neighborhood. And one morning, while they were eating breakfast, the wife looked out of the window and saw her neighbor hanging wash on the line to dry. She noticed the wash was dingy and dirty. She said to her husband, that neighbor lady doesn't know how to wash, honey. Her clothes are not clean. I wonder if she's even using any detergent. Day after day went by and she will make the same comment. I can't believe the neighbor doesn't know how to wash. I can't believe they wear those dirty and dingy clothes all the time, everywhere. A few weeks later, the woman looked out the window one day, and her neighbor's clothes were as clean and as bright as could be. She was so surprised. She called her husband, honey, come quick. I can't believe it. She finally learned how to wash. I wonder what happened. The husband smiled. Honey, I got up early this morning. I cleaned our window. How dirty the neighbor's clothes appear depends on how clean your window is. It is not the neighbor's clothes that have been dirty all the time. It is your window that is not clean. If you can't see anything in a positive light, if you see only what your spouse, what your parent, what your children does wrong and never see what they do right, my advice is you need to clean your window. You need to clean your window. Luke chapter 6 verse 41 to 42. Luke chapter 6 verse 41 to 42. Jesus said, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your eye?" Isn't it strange to you that Jesus placed the peck on your neighbor's eye and placed the plank? The plank is bigger than the speck in your own eyes. Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye, even if there is any speck there at all. The problem is not with anyone else. The problem is with you. That's why experts say you can never change another person, but you can only change yourself. Your opponent, your partner, may be doing something that aggravates you, that irritates you, and you complain about it. You complain about, "Honey, you need to change. Honey, you need to change. Honey, you ain't going to change that lady. You ain't going to change that man." You can only change who? Yourself. When you change yourself, the other person will respond by changing, because you have changed yourself. The problem is not with the other person. It's like a man who had an accident driving to work. He got out of the car and said, "Lady, why don't you learn how to drive properly? You are the fourth person who has hit me today." So who doesn't know how to drive properly? She's the fourth person that has hit him today. See, beloved, we must not demand perfection from each other. The perfectionist is never satisfied. I heard about a man who asked his wife to make him two eggs, one fried and one scrambled. She made them and put them on a plate. When he saw the meal, he shook his head. And the wife, knowing that the husband is a perfectionist, said, "What have I done wrong now?" She asked. "That's exactly what you asked for, two eggs." And the husband said, "I knew it would happen." She said, "I knew, you knew what?" The husband said, "You fried the wrong egg." That is what a perfectionist does. How do you know which egg is the wrong egg? There is no way. Thank you, my beloved. There is no way to know which egg is the wrong egg. The man is just a perfectionist. Some people have become so critical-minded that no matter what is done for them, it's not right. They never see the good in their spouses. They never see the good in their parents. They never see the good in their children. Everything has to be criticized. Hey, life is about how you see it. Are you listening to me? I ain't gonna let nothing break me down. I am not perfect, but I am okay. Don't I look okay the way you look at me this morning? I'm good enough. Look, a negative person will see something wrong with me this morning. He will say, "He's bald-headed. I am enjoying the bald head." I am enjoying it. Are you listening to me? I go to the mirror every morning. I shave, and I shave very well, thanks to Michael Jordan, who popularized the bald-headedness. Pastor is going to join us
us very soon. First lady, take note. And then when I have shaved, I cream very well, and I perfume. I perfume myself. I'm okay. You may not like me. There are folks that like me, and they want to lick me also. They are back home. Are you listening? If you don't like me, my flight is waiting. I will soon get out of San Antonio and go back home. There are folks who are eagerly waiting to hug me. Say, Daddy, I miss you. Honey, I miss you. You don't like me, then I move away from you. Don't be a perfectionist in relationships. Remember where you met each other. You won't communicate properly if you have a critical spirit. You will accuse the right person of a wrong thing. Because you have a critical spirit. Something that doesn't even concern you. That's what happened to Korah when he rebelled. He rebelled against Moses based on an issue that got nothing to do with him. It's none of his business. What he was accusing Moses about was none of his business. That was why he died. It wasn't his business. Accept the reality that everyone has faults and that they are managing it. When you are critical, you start nagging. And people respond, listen, people respond to praise more than they respond to criticism. Do you understand? People respond to praise more than better than they respond to criticism. If you have the critical spirit, you are always criticizing somebody. You are always criticizing somebody. Number two, a second gift that I encourage you to give each other is the gift of understanding in relationships. Gift of understanding. Understanding is a powerful thing. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3. Wisdom, by wisdom, a house is built. With understanding, it is established. By wisdom, a house is built. With understanding, it is established. My children, the generation, the younger generation, they are here. I spoke with them yesterday. They are so tech savvy. The I generation, you know. The whatever generation, they know about technology. My kids, they laugh at me every time. They say, Dad, this phone you are holding, the capacity that it has, you are not using this phone. I say, it's okay. I am an old school guy. It's enough to text. It's enough to send email and phone. That's enough. And I see my Facebook there sometimes. That's enough. They say, Dad, this phone, I went to rent a car. I went to rent a car, and they gave me GPS, which they charge me. And I have to be paying. And my daughter said, Daddy? I said, what? They said, you got a GPS? I said, yeah, it's to get me, help me. They said, Daddy, your phone has a GPS. I said, what are you talking? Said, this phone you are holding, Dad. I said, no, it doesn't. She said, it does. I said, no, it doesn't. She said, no. I said, okay, prove it to me. My daughter picked my phone. Within 2 minutes, she downloaded the app and said, this is GPS, Dad. And you are going to pay $12 per day for GPS. I said, I'm going to return the car. I don't want no GPS. I don't want no GPS. You are going to enjoy me this morning. Just relax. Don't be in a hurry. I know, see the time come down. I'm going to plead with them to add me a little more time. Cut me some slack this morning, folks. Don't be judgmental about me. I'm be so... give me the gift of compassion. And don't be a perfectionist. If you understand something, you will get the maximum use of that thing. You will enjoy it. I've seen folks from my country, from Nigeria, wealthy folks, come to the United States. They come to buy the latest BMW. I love cars. And they import it to Nigeria. They land it there. Beautiful.
And the guy, instead of driving the car himself, will give it to an illiterate driver. And he will go and sit at the back. Wasting resources. The beauty of a car is the guy that sits at the driver's seat. There are gadgets. There are gadgets that the illiterate doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. All he knows is to put it in gear and drive. There are things you push, you begin to sense. Oh my goodness. You do not enjoy something if you don't understand it. If you don't understand it. How does a woman think? What is the mentality of a woman? How does a woman communicate? Communication is a different issue for a woman than a man. I traveled, as I do usually, and I'm in my hotel room, and Chelsea is playing with Tottenham. And I put on the show, and I want to watch in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon. I preach in the morning, and I sat in my hotel room watching this beautiful game. Watching this beautiful game, and my phone rang. It's Top Woman, my wife. And because it's Top Woman, I will always pick my wife's call. And so I turned down the volume while I'm still watching the game. As we were talking, Top Woman said, "What are you watching?" What am I watching? The volume is down. Why did she ask me what am I watching? Because from my voice, she could tell she didn't get my total attention. A woman can pick that, not a man. Not a man. A woman can pick from your voice that you are lying. But he said, "Honey, did you go there?" "No, I didn't go there." She can tell that you are lying. They are intuitive. The power of intuition of a woman is powerful. But we do not know. Men do not know. If I understand my wife like that, anytime she asks, "Did you do it, honey?" And I turn like this and I say, "Yes, no, I didn't do it." She said, "Top ma." I say, "Get out of here. Cut me a slack." I am not perfect. She understanding. Understanding. Oh. That's why the Bible says, "My people are perish for lack of knowledge." What you do not know will kill. Understanding. When you understand, I understand Top Woman. I understand that a woman wants to be appreciated. A woman wants to be, you want to talk to a woman. You want to tell your wife she's hot. You want to say she's good. You want to say, "I like you." Even if you don't, you are not sure whether you like her or not. Oh, yeah. First lady. In reality. First lady, in reality. I've been a long way. As folks who have been a long way, there are occasions that in marriage, you don't like your spouse anymore. You wonder if she's for me or she's against me. You are not really sure. That tide comes. That's what we call for better, for worse. That is for the worse occasion. For worse occasions do come. When they come, they are real. They are real. But you see, my wife went to have a hairdo and she comes back home. You just see a lady just doing like this. She ain't doing like that she wants you to comment. You don't see a lady just coming home and just doing like this. She wants you to say, "Hey, shake it for me, man." That's a beautiful hairdo. Where did you do it? Just engage her in conversation. Where did you do it? I bet it costs you a lot. She likes that. Attention. I don't like attention like that because I am a man. My wiring is not like that. Understanding is a powerful thing. Look, this iPad, I've not been able to use it to the maximum because I don't understand it so much. I am not so technically savvy. See, I read emails, I do a few. Give this to my 14-year-old daughter. In fact, she will use it to a point. The stuff will start shouting because she has understanding. One of the reasons we fight and quarrel is because we do not understand each other. We do not understand each other's chemistry. Please, try to give each other the gift of understanding. When I was growing up, I grew up poor. We were poor. We were poor. My parents were not educated. We were poor. We were not educated. That's okay. We didn't commit a crime for being poor. Nothing is wrong with a man's background. It was my background, and I found out nobody can change their background. You live with it. So I've learned to celebrate my background. That's why I've been telling you my story since Friday. I could have come here and puffed my chest and start saying, well, you see, I will finish deceiving you. You will say, get out of here, buddy. The reason you like me, the reason you have been able to connect with me since Friday is the authenticity. I've told you my story. Now, I don't look like that rural boy that I told you this morning. Do I look like? No. If there was a dinner in White House and I go like this, you think they won't open the gate? The way I am now. Like an elder statesman. We will walk in. We do not need to be expensive, but we just need to be decent enough. That's enough. That's enough. Are you listening to me? So, when I went to secondary school, the older generation will understand me. Please, I beg you. I so beg you. I don't know. I'm in love with you. By now, I would have almost finished this message. I notice I'm lingering this morning, and I don't know why the Spirit is doing that to me. Please stay with me a little bit. I may take you beyond your regular time. That's because I'm a timekeeper. That's why I'm asking for you. I believe the Holy Spirit is up to something this morning. I believe so. That's why that I'm pleading with you. If you don't have to rush somewhere, stay with me. Because this is about you, about your family. And God will cause a turnaround. So, when I grew up, we didn't use toothpaste to brush our teeth. We didn't. There might be one or two persons here who will witness with me that they grew up like that. We use something we call chewing stick. That's all we used. That's all I knew with my parents. And the first time I saw toothpaste, that I used a toothpaste, was when I went to a boarding school, to secondary school. High school. All right. So, when I got married, to a very sophisticated lady. My wife's parents went to school in London. And her father was a CPA, and came back to Nigeria and became the managing director of a bank. My wife, when she was growing up with her siblings, used to go to the government house for Christmas party. In the governor's house in Ibadan. That's like going to heaven for me. I didn't know human being can go to governor's house. When I was growing up, my wife used to go. So you can see we came from two different backgrounds. But when I came out of college, she liked the dude. Because I know how to package myself, huh? Background or no background. Background or no background, the Londoner fell for the rural boy. The Londoner fell for the rural boy. Because the rural boy knows how to convert the rural to whatever when the time is relevant. So, one of our first quarrel was about the use of the toothpaste. Because I can attack this thing from any angle. As long as the stuff comes out. And then I noticed when I go back to the bathroom, top woman will have straightened it up. She will have straightened it up, and she likes it to stand on its head like this. And when I go back in the morning, I just press the stuff, and it comes out, and I lay it anywhere. And then my wife, my Londoner wife, would have gone again and straightened it up. And then when God gave me the gift of understanding, I understood that my Londoner wife is a straight jacket. She wants everything done. Okay. And I want to enjoy my wife to capacity. I changed my ways. I wasn't attacking this thing from anywhere anymore. When I used it, I now begin to press it and I will position it. In fact, where she will see it, and then she said, top man, I said, I noticed a change. I don't know what you are talking about. I began to enjoy because I now understand. Because it doesn't cost me anything to change. But if I want to be the typical... I hope that didn't go to the recording. If I want to be heady, I would say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? I can do it anyhow. It doesn't matter. Whatever. As long as the stuff come out, I'm philosophizing now. But philosophizing doesn't settle the issue between me and top woman. I've realized that home issue, domestic issue matter to a woman. Whether you are a professor, whether you are a university don, whether you are a Caucasian, whether you are white, whether you are black, just keep it simple, the way the lady of the house wants it. You will live in peace. So I understood. Why are you reacting? Do you know what I'm about saying? Why are you reacting? When I was growing up, I told you my background. We didn't have a functioning toilet inside our house. A functioning bathroom inside our house. There was no toilet, no bathroom. There are still houses like that as I'm talking to you. Like that, as at this present time. And many of you, it's not me alone, you are just looking at me pretending. You came from such places that I'm talking about. Thank you, my beloved. No, if you want to go to the bathroom, I tell my children stories. They laugh and laugh and laugh. I say, you think your daddy was born in Arkansas or in New York City? I say, no, let me tell you about your daddy's background. Your dad got a great background, kids. They laugh and laugh. I've told my children a story about how we didn't have a bathroom. They said, so what were you doing? I said, I will tell you what we did. We used to go out of the house. In fact, in the society, there was a public place. A hilly place. What are you talking? Stop doing that to me. Why are you doing your face like that? So my kids asked, they said, Daddy, What about privacy? I said, what? That is no privacy. You just respect each other. I said, in fact, you meet people there who have gone ahead of you. And as you get there, you'll be greeting them. In my culture, in my culture, in my culture, we have greeting for everything. We greet the people who are sitting down. We greet the people who are standing up. We greet the people who are walking. We greet the people who are using the toilet. We greet the people. What a beautiful... Please put your hand together for my culture. So such places that I describe for you, such places that I describe for you, there is no toilet paper there. Toilet paper was the prerogative of the rich, of the bourgeoisie. I'm telling you the truth. So I didn't use tissue paper for a long time growing up. Yet I was growing up. Not using tissue paper didn't prevent me from growing up. I grew up. Poverty doesn't stop nobody from going up. Mm-mm. So when I got married to my Londoner wife, you know the Londoner has used tissue paper all her life. All her life. She knows the nitty-gritty. She knows how to... Our first fight was how to position it. Should we put it like this? Should we put it like this? It doesn't matter how you put it, as far as I'm concerned. Just put it. Put it. Because I didn't grow up using it. But my wife did. So there was a cultural clash. There was a cultural clash. And if I want to continue to strive, I will continue to strive with top woman about how to put it, how to position this thing. Now, what I did was to ask her, what, in your opinion, ma'am, my sweet, pretty wife, is the best way to position this thing? She said, this way. I said, from tonight, let it be known from heaven and earth that I will be doing it the way you want it. Because I want to enjoy you. Not because she's right. Not because she is wrong. But because that is how it will be pleasing to her. Because she has been brought up in such a way to feel that all these things that I think do not matter, matters. So I chose to yield to her so that I can enjoy my journey. And I want to enjoy that journey. I haven't come from that background. I've chosen to enjoy. I've chosen to enjoy understanding. We are different, but we are not inferior to each other. We are not superior to each other. Some of the reason why you are laughing when I was telling you that my background is because you have been brainwashed to think the background that is different from you is inferior to you. Was I inferior at any time to that Londoner? As far as heaven is concerned, I am a human being for whom Christ came and died. And he died for the Londoner the same way. That my rural background does not make me inferior to that London background. But we have been taught. That's why when I painted that picture, somebody will look like this. When I say we didn't go to toilet, it will, because that's the look of, really? People are still doing that stuff as I'm talking to you now. Yeah. It doesn't make them inferior. When Christ come and they are born again, as Bush and Obama is entering heaven, if he's a Christian, somebody from my rural home is going to enter heaven. They are not going to ask, because you didn't use toilet paper, there is no door of heaven. There is no inferiority. That's one of the reasons we quarrel. We quarrel because First Lady thinks she's superior to me, because I have such a rural background. You see yourself, First Lady? Do you have your checkbook here? Because I'm going to fine you for thinking I'm inferior this morning. I know there is a man behind her. That's one of the reasons we quarrel. There is that psychological stuff in our mind. How do we say it in in Nigerian culture? Bushman. Who is a bushman? There is no bushman. Everybody have a background. Do you know who a person that says, I chose my background? Huh? Have you ever met such a person? Good background, bad background. Do you know whoever said, I chose that background? Nobody chooses their background. It's not your choice. You live with it. But you must learn to be proud of your background. Out of that picture that I painted to you this morning, I've come out a man like me. All I can do every day is to lie down before God and thank him and prostrate. And when I arrived in the United States of America, I say, oh Lord, this is the life. You brought a rural boy to a good place. My eye has seen beautiful things. My ear is hearing good things. My nose is smelling good things. And I'm enjoying life to capacity. When we went to buy a house, they went to show us the houses in the neighborhood. And so we saw one house that has a swimming pool. I said, that is the house. Look at the other houses. I said, the one with swimming pool. Because when I was growing up, if I wanted to ever swim, it's in the river. I did not know that a private house can have a private swimming pool. If anybody had it where I grew up, it was wealthy people. And I used to think it is people who have two heads. So I said, this is the house. So I have a private swimming pool at home now. In the hot summer, I just say, oh, children, whether I know how to swim or not, I have a swimming pool. I have a swimming pool. And I am enjoying it. Understanding. Where is the youngest couple in the house this morning? The youngest couple. Okay, please come. Let's do a little game. The youngest couple. I saw you guys yesterday. You were there last night. You're looking so different this morning. Wonderful, beautiful people. Please let the lady walk elegantly to the front. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Please come, sir. Just come. Come with your bride. How you said the marriage is? It is a beautiful one. The Lord will perfect it. Just face each other this morning. Face each other. We have a little exercise. Don't worry. Sir, what is this? A coffee cup. Ma'am, what is this? A coffee cup. Or a mug. A mug. Or a coffee cup. A coffee cup. You are the judges this morning. The excellent judges and jury. Are you ready? Okay, so just open your eyes and your ears. These beautiful people, we're going to, there's this stuff that I want you to see this morning. What will you do with this, ma'am?
You can drink coffee, tea, or water. What about you, sir?
Please, just relax. Just.
I can drink coffee with it, put some pen in it, and
are you noticing differences? Now, she would drink coffee, tea, or water. He would do the same, but he can also put pen in it. There are different uses that you can convert this into. Now, judges and jury, who is right?
She's right.
Who is wrong? What do you do? First lady? Okay, let me ask the other judges. Is he wrong? If you want to use this thing to do what the man has described, will this thing protest?
No.
You can use it. I do not think anybody is right. I do not think anybody is wrong. Maybe I do not think anybody is wrong, but I think both of them are right, actually. Ma'am, what is the color of this mug? It's cream. What is the color of this mug, sir? It's white. Who is right? Who is wrong? No. 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 Nobody is wrong. Is there a whiteness in this thing? There is a whiteness in it. So he said it's white. Or she said it's white? She said cream. Is there a creamness in this?
Yes.
So are they wrong?
No.
No. See, you are responding exactly the way I want you to respond. Because of your perspective. And you are holding your ground. See, aren't you holding your ground? You are. But the drama I'm playing before you is the truth, and the truth has not changed, but you are seeing it in different perspectives. And you are holding your ground. This is the final test. You both agree that this is a cup and a mug. It has a handle, right? Please, pretty lady, stand. What side is this handle facing, your left or your right? This handle. Yes, as you are standing. It's on your right. What side is the handle facing, sir? It's on your left. It's on your left. Final answer. On your left. It's on your right. Can you change positions? You said it's on your right. Is it on your right now? It's on your left now. What about you, sir?
It's on my right.
It's now on your right.
Yes.
But you said it was on your left.
Yes.
What has changed? I have not moved the cup. What has changed? When your position changes, your perspective will change. Let's go, go. The Lord bless you. Every time you change your position, even though the truth still remains on the same spot, your description of that truth will change. Perspective will change. It does not mean you are wrong. There are occasions that wives argue from the point of view of a woman, and they are not wrong. They are not wrong. But their husband say, you are wrong. Come on, shut up. I don't want to listen to that. If, sir, you can just move and become a wife, you probably will see it exactly the way she saw it. Because looking at a situation from the perspective of a wife is different from looking at it from the perspective of a husband. The same thing. When a husband insists on certain things, and the wife say, no, you always say that. If you change, that's why, do you know, I was talking to you about the driver's seat. The driver's seat, when you sit on the driver's seat
and your wife sits next to you. She wants to drive with you or drive for you. Right? Or when you drive with your daughter or your son that is a teenager, when the red light is showing, what are you doing already, dad or mom? You are mashing the brake, imagination. You are already pressing the brake before he presses the brake. And you tell the teenager, what's wrong with you? You don't want to stop. And the boy is giggling. The mommy wants to kill her. Say, mom, take it easy. I'm going to stop. And you are worried. What's wrong with them? These teenagers or your husband. Honey, you don't take it easy. The fellow who sits on the driver's seat is at an advantageous position. They have designed the driver's seat so that you can see the circumference of the car. Once you look at that mirror, you look at this mirror, you look at that, you can tell. But the fellow on the passenger seat can't do that. He cannot see everything. Understanding in marriage relationships is a big issue. You see, that's the one point I've been dwelling with all this hour, all these minutes, all these seconds. Understanding is a big issue. Many times you disagree with your spouse, it does not mean your spouse is wrong. They are just taking the issue from their point of view. They are taking it from their perspective. And it does not mean they are inferior. I've said so many things this morning. It does not mean they are inferior. They are not inferior at all. You must quit that thought and begin to see your spouse as they are. When you begin to see, you will live with them better. You will operate with them better. Until I sat down with my wife and we came to this understanding. And on occasion, we talked and I said, honey, we look at issue, we talk about this, we talk about that. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. I said, honey, did you hear yourself? No. I said, honey, you are talking as if you are superior to me. She said, no. I said, let me repeat the statement you just made. I said, let's decode it gradually. Do you now see? You talk from a point of view. You should have talked from a point of view that you are different. I've never seen people do it that way. I think there is a right way or a better way to do it. There might not even be a right way. Because sometimes what is right in your home is not right in my home. Because it's not acceptable to us. Whatever is acceptable in your home is right. As long as you can live with that. Oh, so my wife understood because she has the Spirit of God. And say, I'm sorry. I can understand what you are saying. That's what has been causing rift between us all this while. Every time I criticize what you do differently, it comes from a point of view of, I am superior to you, you are inferior. And anybody you relate with that notion want to fight back. Don't you see how Barack Obama fights back? Say, it's because you have never seen a black man in the White House. That's why you argue from that point of view. That every time you make a person feel inferior, they want to tell you, I am not inferior. And that's the cry of God every time. Nobody is inferior to anybody. We are people. Your wife is not inferior to you. Your husband is not superior to you. But you can relate with each other with understanding. Now, marriage is so difficult. Marriage is so complex. Because God wants us to relate with joy, with harmony, with peace, with each other. Unfortunately, it's very difficult for us to do that. But God created marriage for purposes. He doesn't want us to make a mistake. He doesn't want us to mess up. He puts our spouses in our life as opportunities. Opportunities for us to learn. Opportunities for us to be better. Opportunities for us to grow good and great characters that probably we did not know or we did not have before we joined each other. In the movie,
Ever and Almighty. If you have watched that movie, Ever and Almighty, where that congressman was doing strange things, and he was, and his family could not understand. His wife could not understand. His children could not understand. In fact, what that stuff that was happening came to begin to do was to begin to separate them. Mommy and the children were now talking about that. They don't know what is going on. Why is he so weird? Because they have not insight into the stuff that is happening to him. He was the only person that knew that somebody was communicating with him, asking him to do stuff, but he has not been able to communicate effectively with his family about this stuff that is happening to him. So they didn't understand him. And when you don't understand, you will misjudge. So they went to a restaurant one day, the wife and the children, to eat. As they were eating, watch this.
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Do you see the look on her face? She got the message. What is happening to your husband is an opportunity. If somebody prays for patience, doth God come from heaven, bring an angel, and just throw the gift of patience? Is that how people receive patience? God brings them to a situation. He brings a wife to their life. Come on, man. He brings a husband to their life. He brings a husband to their life. That will put them on the journey that they want to give up. It's an opportunity. If somebody wants to be courageous, does an evangelist show up and say, "Receive courage now"? Is that how to be courageous? No. God will bring him to the valley of the shadow of death. He will put him between the rocks where he will cry, "My soul, oh my soul, I'm dying here. Is nobody hearing? Are you guys abandoning me here?" And yet he will hear nothing. It is when he has come out and look where he has come out from. I made it. He becomes courageous. Put him through that same test again. He will say in 1997, in San Antonio, "I went through something like that. God saw me through." Folks, bring your hand, let's go. They say, "Are you sure?" I said, "We will make it. Because God saw me through it once." That is how to be courageous. God, this morning, is going to bring opportunity to your life. Amen. I read about a man, a king. I'm finished. He was very big king. He had a favorite slave that always accompanied him to places. And he liked going hunting. So the king went hunting this day, and he went with this favorite slave. As they were hunting, a wild animal showed up. and wrestled with them. The slave wrestled with the animal and was able to kill the animal. But before he was able to kill the animal had caught one of the king's fingers. Well, they made it home. The king was treated and he recovered. But he was angry. He was angry because his slave always told him, "Sir, everything that God does is good. And he doesn't make a mistake." And so he said, "Look at you. Look at you. You always say God, everything God does is good. He doesn't make a mistake. Didn't God make a mistake this time around? Look at my finger." He said, "God doesn't make a mistake. Everything God does is good." He was so mad, he said, "Go and lock him up." They locked him up. And so the king recovered. And the king wanted to go on hunting again. So he went on hunting on this occasion alone. And he fell into the hand of these savages who used human beings for sacrifice. They chained him. They chained him. They bound him and put him on the altar of their god. Just as they were about killing him, their leader said, wait. This man is not a complete man. He is lacking a finger. Our God doesn't take such people as sacrifice. Release him and let him go." So they set the king free, and the king came home. He was perturbed. He said they should open the prison. He said, "Boy, you said you are right. You said everything God does is good. He doesn't make a mistake. They would have killed me, those savages, but for my finger." He said, "I told you, sir." No, he said, "Okay, but why, if your God is so good, why did he let me lock you up?" "Ah," he said, "God doesn't make a mistake. You know that everywhere you go, I always follow you. If you didn't lock me up, I would have gone on this trip with you. If I have gone on this trip with you, I have my own fingers complete. I would have been the lamb of sacrifice." So what did you say is your problem? San Antonio people, what did you say is your problem? Please rise on your feet. Where's Dickness? Get on the mic for me. "Awesome God, mighty God,
mighty God,
we give you praise,
we give you praise.
Awesome God,
awesome God,
we give you praise.
I want us to sing it one more time. I want you to show appreciation. Show appreciation for this awesome God.
Say, "Mighty God."
He doesn't make a mistake.
Say, "Awesome God." He say, "Mighty God." I give you praise. Say, "Awesome God." I give you praise. Say, "Mighty God."
taken a lot of time in this service. I want to pray for you over your situation. The book of 2 Samuel, just wait for me. Don't turn there. I'm going to pray in a minute and I'll be done. There was a situation that was so difficult and critical. And God sent an angel that was destroying the people. And David cried. He cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard his voice and had compassion. In verse 16 of 2 Samuel chapter 24, the Bible says, and when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. It is enough. I speak to every destroyer, every affliction that you have been experiencing in your relationship, in your home, in your family, in your life, either as a single or as married people. I am a prophet of the Lord to marriages, to families. I speak because I have been sent by God. At the sound of my voice, if you believe, whatever situation that I've been confronting you that is working abnormally, it is enough. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is enough. You have shed enough tears. You have sorrowed enough. You have suffered enough. Enough. I speak. Listen to me. This is my ministry. When I travel, I obey the voice of the Lord. When I come back, you will remind me that God started a turnaround from today. Because I say in the name of the Lord, it is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.